app.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with Americans killed in Israel, which has announced what it calls a complete siege on Gaza after Hamas weekend incursion by land, water, and air. Correspondent Cammie McCormick begins team coverage.
A State Department spokesman says 9 U.S. citizens are among the dead. He says the U.S. has also confirmed there are unaccounted for Americans, and officials are working with Israel to determine their whereabouts. The focus is now shifting to hostages as well. The administration does expect there may well be Americans among them and will offer support and expertise on how to address the situation.
Israel's military is scouring the south for Hamas fighters as tanks pound Gaza. CBS's Holly Williams from the southern Israeli city of Sderot.
Israel will settle the score with anyone who harms even a hair on the captives' heads, said Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's vowed to turn Gaza into an island of ruin.
That's the sound of people in Gaza being pulled from the rubble after a new round of Israeli airstrikes. CBS's Imtiaz Tayab has more from Tel Aviv.
The death toll on both sides has reached around 1,200. Today, Israel's defense minister ordered a total blockade of Gaza. No power, food, or fuel.
Major U.S. airlines have suspended flights to Tel Aviv. They observed a moment of silence for the new war at the New York Stock Exchange this morning. Rescuers in western Afghanistan are scrambling to pull survivors and bodies from the rubble after a powerful 6.3 earthquake that flattened 20 villages Saturday. The Taliban says at least 2,400 people were killed. The World Health Organization says two-thirds of the hospitalized are women and children. Here in the U.S., an autopsy has found the death of a 62-year-old church deacon who was electronically shocked by a police officer, a homicide. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Johnny Holman became unresponsive on August 10th while being arrested after a minor car accident. An Atlanta police officer tasered and handcuffed him after Holman refused to sign a traffic ticket. The city has since changed its policy to let officers write refusal to sign on a citation instead of arresting someone who won't sign.
There's another massive Powerball jackpot up for grabs tonight.
You're getting larger and larger and larger, but you can't spend all that money.
Tonight's prize is an estimated $1.5 billion. That's the world's fourth largest lottery prize ever, after rolling over for 34 consecutive drawings. The Dow right now is down 3 points. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Like any good
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. First Lady Jill Biden will make a trip to Wisconsin early this week to promote the Biden administration's commitment to supporting Native communities and collaborating with tribal nations. The First Lady will be in Green Bay today to attend a Biden Cancer Moonshot event. Then on Tuesday, we'll tour the Menominee Tribal Enterprises sawmill to learn about sustainable forest management. She will also visit the College of Menominee Nation and participate in the Women's Empowerment Summit. Xcel Energy is planning a $500 million transmission line project through western Wisconsin, planning to start the line in Trumbull County and connecting it with existing transmission lines in Clark County and Rust County. The timeline for the project is not set, but Xcel Energy doesn't plan to submit an application with the Public Service Commission until at least next summer. The company will also hold open houses from today through Thursday for residents to learn about the project. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 20 $0.25. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning, and welcome to the Monday, October 9th edition of As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Buck is producing. Joining me as guest host for this first hour is our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, from the Todd Alba Show, which you can hear every Monday through Friday across the Civic Media Network from 1 to 3 p.m. And we also want to wish everyone a happy Indigenous Peoples Day, used to be called Columbus Day. Good morning, Todd. How are you doing?
I am absolutely fantastic, you guys. How about yourselves?
It's just so different from when we had you on last week because you were on your patio in the
great
80-degree weather, and now this is a little bit more normal Wisconsin fall.
Yeah, I had to move inside into the kitchen area here, so hanging out with you guys is the best way to start my Monday.
Well, that's lovely of you to join us. I really appreciate it. We are going to start with the unbelievable atrocities that happened overseas this weekend when Israel was attacked by Hamas. And what is the death toll up to now? Do we know?
I think well over 300 in Israel and over 200 in parts of Palestine. So, yeah, I mean, I watched a news show this morning. I think it was CBS Mornings. One of the people that are there, they brought in, equated this to 7 9/11s for Israel. Because if you take the amount of people who live in Israel compared to the U.S. and the amount of people who have died, and so the person was, I think it drove home the point, imagine 7 9/11s and then having the attackers occupying your country and then kidnapping people and now reports of rape as well. And it's certainly noteworthy that it is reported that Americans are also amongst the dead and the kidnapped.
Yeah. I started seeing that this morning. I think the report was I saw that 7 Americans were confirmed dead. We will keep up on that and see what happens with those numbers, tragically, because unfortunately I think it's fair to assume that the number is going to rise. Now, this happens, yeah, of course, at the same time that we have no Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C., and now there is a Republican from California, John Duarte, who was on Fox this morning, and he is calling for bipartisan agreements to get Kevin McCarthy back in.
Well, I mean, that's a wonderful thought, I guess, but the train has kind of left the station on that. I don't think Kevin McCarthy would want to be Speaker again, especially under these circumstances. And, I mean, if they want actual bipartisan agreement, last time I checked, Hakeem Jeffries is sitting there with experience, and if they wanted bipartisan agreement, they could make Hakeem Jeffries the temporary Speaker. Heck, they could make McHenry, who's actually the interim speaker. They can make him the official speaker. I mean, there are certainly other options there besides Kevin McCarthy.
Well, and I have to laugh. This was in WPR from last week. This is from Friday. Republican Glenn Grothman of Wisconsin, who I rarely agree with about anything, actually came forward and said, yeah, there was no plan when they ousted Speaker McCarthy.
I saw that clip and I thought it was fascinating. And like you, Jane, I know Glenn fairly well. He served, my former boss served in the Senate. And yes, I rarely agree with him politically. But yeah, I mean, Glenn makes a lot of sense on this one. And again, think of this, Jane and Greg, when you're right of Glenn Grothman, you've really fallen off the cliff, right?
I mean,
even Glenn Grothman has the sensibility to say, hey, guys, gals, if there is no plan, maybe we should keep the person we've got.
Yeah, it's again, Glenn Grothman is saying this and we're agreeing. It's astonishing. He told the WPR's The Morning Show last Friday he believes the vote to oust Kevin McCarthy was solely due to a personal conflict between the members of Congress. Quote, nobody in Washington believes that Matt Gaetz is doing this because McCarthy talked to Democrats. He's doing it because he, on a personal level, does not like Kevin McCarthy. And so now everything's at a standstill. Right? I mean, everything is stuck.
Absolutely. It's a terrible position. Sorry, Greg, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to...
Yeah, I agree.
I was just going to say, yeah, Glenn, we know.
Tell us something we don't know, right? And then at the same time, when all of this is going on, the office of Senator Tommy Tuberville, who claims he's a Republican from Alabama, even though most of the reports say that he actually lives in Florida... He's still not backing down on his months-long blockade on hundreds of military promotions, even amid these deadly attacks by Hamas against Israel. This is over the ability of female service people to go to a state where they can get medical care if they need an abortion. And he is holding up, what, over 300 people? Over 300 military promotions?
At least that, I mean, I think if you total not just the flag officers, but right down the line, it's well over 500 to 700 now total promotions. If you go right down the line, that he's, I mean, it might be 200 to 300 of direct Senate appointees, but you go down the line. We talked to General May, Brigadier General May, who is the commander of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, a couple of months ago when we did a show up there. And of course, current city military are reticent. They cannot be partisan. They have to be nonpartisan. But he spoke directly to the military preparedness. And he went on the record and said, look, take the politics out, but I can't deny this is having real effects, even right here in Wisconsin, on our military men and women. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, about Senator Tuberville, he might want to remove that license plate surround thing that says, welcome to the Sunshine State. So, I mean he turns out he does live in Florida, but he tries to represent Alabama. But, and our colleague Matt Flynn has talked about this in the afternoon as well, that, again, the responsibility falls on the Republicans in Tuberville, but not one, to my knowledge yet, not one United States senator has stood up and said, look, let's just change the rules. Let's forget about this, groveling to one person, because this is having a real effect. To me, Jane and Greg, they're kind of two facets. A, there's the strict military facet. I never served. I worked in military affairs when I worked in Congress, so I have some semblance, but I've never worked in it. I want to make that clear. But there is a real, not just from military preparedness, from strategery or strategizing, but the men and women who have kids.
Right.
They have kids going to elementary, high school, colleges, and they can't enroll because they don't know where they're going. That's kind of number one. Number two is what's happening in Israel right now with this attack by Hamas. And look, Israel is a top ally of the United States. President Biden has sent the USS Gerald R. Ford, the brand new nuclear aircraft carrier, to the region to try to dissuade others from taking advantage of this. We need our top military people in place to give commands and give orders, and Tommy Tuberville, the Republicans, are holding that up.
And for what purpose? I just don't understand. He's making a one-man stand, and ultimately... Of course, again, he doesn't live in the state where he claims to serve in Alabama, but there are a whole bunch of military people in Alabama, and I would think that they would become growingly annoyed with this action by him.
We've used a couple of stories. Alabamans. He is now, in political terms in polling, we call it underwater. Tommy Tuberville is underwater in his own state amongst Republicans over this. So yes, even Alabama Republicans say enough is enough. And yes, it would be bad enough if it was just about women's health care rights in the military. But it's even more petulant than that. A large part is because President Biden decided to put the new Space Force headquarters in Colorado rather than Alabama. Because, hey, you know what? Alabama already has military and I believe NASA installations as well. They tried to spread the love around. Tommy Tuberville didn't want it. And so he's throwing a fit.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to weigh in on this, you can call and or text. We have our friend Bill from Econimwalk on the line. Good morning, Bill. What do you think about what's going on? Go ahead, Bill. We lost him.
As Johnny Carson,
I got him on air.
All right, we will delay that. Bill, you can always text in. Again, that number is 844-967-2789. We have a text from the 541 that says, so wait, actual Republicans are realizing they let MAGA Republicans go too far and they don't have a plan? It's about time.
I mean... Welcome to the party.
It's so immensely frustrating that all these personal petty grievances are how we have decided to govern when they are serious, serious problems to deal with in this country and around the world. And we're playing petty politics. And at least up to this point, they're all getting away with it.
Yeah. It really is like kindergarten cop, right? I mean, what the heck is going on?
Nothing. And it's so painful to see some of the discussions on Twitter. I am not well versed in the history of the conflict between Israel and Palestine. I certainly know some of it, but even one of the Israeli defense ministers this morning. And the attack that Hamas carried out was horrific and awful and targeting civilians. But now the Israeli side has said that, well, we're dealing with human animals. Mm-hmm. And that demonization of our humanness is terrifying to me.
Well, it is, but I also think, Jane, in fairness, we're seeing that same type of human animalist genocide happening in Ukraine. I mean, you can't call what Putin is doing to Ukrainians anything short of genocide. I'm not going to go that far with Hamas right now, but certainly I never served, but there are actually rules of war. There are actually rules of engagement. And Hamas has broken those. They are a recognized terrorist organization by the United States of America. They are recognized terrorist organizations by most democracies and established countries around the world. And in war, you just don't do what Hamas is doing right now in Israel.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to text and or call in, join us. You're listening to As Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah. Web Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 37. Some frost possible. Partly sunny and 55 on Tuesday. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high around 57. Thursday, some rain with a high around 55. It will be windy.
Right now, it's 44.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in Fort Kristen. Bry, who's on maternity leave. Todd Alba is my guest host this hour. Greg Bach, the one and only, is on the board today. And we're talking about the just horrific attack by Hamas against Israel over the weekend. Greg Bach, you checked, and the death toll now is up to 1,300.
Correct.
If you want to check in on this, 844-967-2789. You can call and or text 844-96-PARTY, or you can text directly from the Civic Media app coming in from the 608. This iteration of the GOP can't lead on a sunny peacetime day. We're not prepared for a global conflict with the clown caucus having a stranglehold on Congress. Time for the adults in the room to take over. I mean, at this point in time, I feel fortunate that President Biden is our president, just because he has decades of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too, you guys. And by the way, is that better? Is my mic better now? Does it sound like I'm less in the bathroom?
Yes, much better. Much, much better.
All right, thank you. I was told the listeners, here's a great example of Todd being an analog guy living in a digital world, because they give you like 500 different choosing things for a mic. And Corey, our chief engineer, texted me during the last segment. He goes, "Are you in the bathroom?" I said, "No, I'm not in the bathroom. I'm right here at my kitchen table."
There's always a lot of things going on behind the scenes that people aren't aware of.
Right.
Go ahead.
I am at the kitchen table, because to your point, Jane, this is a time where I think a lot of Americans are going to sit around and look at each other and say, let's get rid of all the political rhetoric and name calling and being in third grade. Here's an example of why experience matters. And the fact that Joe Biden has been a longtime member of the Senate, the fact that he is, I don't want to oversell it, but beyond political acquaintances, he has some sort of a friendship relationship with Bibi Netanyahu of Israel. And again, I have spoken out. I was not a fan of what the Netanyahu administration has been trying to do to change the judicial system in Israel. But I think this is a time to put that aside for a moment, because this was a blatant attack by Hamas, a terrorist organization, on Israel. And as you guys have pointed out, Israel is a key player, a key partner with the United States. And this is a region of the world that has been, you know, unstable.
I don't want to make a joke about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Israel is the only democracy in that region. And it is imperative that the United States stand up and support them. It's imperative that the United States have an allegiance with them for strategic reasons beyond humanitarian reasons. And in order to make all that work and try to resolve this with the least amount of death possible on both the Israeli and Palestinian side, I might add. I think it was Erlinger before you guys got on the air making the point that, look, there's a lot of innocent Palestinians right now. The Hamas MO is to use humans as shields.
Yes.
Again, they don't follow the rules of war. And so if you're the Israelis, you're like, well, do we just sit here as sitting ducks, let them keep firing at us without ever firing back? I think that the Israelis have tried to telegraph as much as they can. Hey, this is where we're going over in Gaza. These are where the targets. Please, if you're in this area, get out. Now, I understand the flip side of that is a lot of these people don't have other places to go. There's no good option here, quite frankly. But the fact is that the United States, in my personal opinion, has to stand with Israel. I applaud President Biden. And I don't even want to think about what would be happening right now if the previous administration were in control, or some of these people that are currently on the Republican ticket. And to your point, Jane, we're seeing exactly what happens in Congress. Republicans cannot govern. They can't anymore. And I mean, Liz Cheney said it best last week. If Jim Jordan becomes Speaker, Republicans have no right to stand and say they can protect democracy and the Constitution.
Don't you think that's how it's going to go, though? Don't you think that Jordan is going to be the one that they tap for this?
It appears that way right now. He has Trump's blessing, for whatever that means. And quite frankly, it does mean something in the Republican caucus right now. But I don't. I mean, there's a whole. I mean, they're saying that Trump may visit Washington tomorrow and saying that he'll be glad to take over on a short-term basis. I'm not sure whether that has realistic legs or not. I don't think so. But you know what? Every time we say it could never happen, look, something's happened. So I mean, I can't say that it's a zero possibility that Trump becomes the interim speaker. I think Jordan probably has the inside track of the Freedom Caucus and the MAGA folks. So the question becomes, do what's left of any semblance of sanity in the Republican caucus, who's probably supporting Steve Scalise, which I'm not a fan of either, but I mean, do they do something historic? Are there 20 Republicans with a spine that actually believe in democracy and the Constitution that will cross over and vote with the Democrats to name Hakeem Jeffries or some other? Say, I mean, again, it's bizarro, but we live in a bizarro world. Arnold Schwarzenegger is making a big media tour this morning for a new book. What about Schwarzenegger? He is a Republican, after all.
True.
I mean, and he's ineligible to move up the ladder because he's not he's a naturalized citizen. So I mean, what about Schwarzenegger for you know, a year and a couple of months?
That would be very interesting. It really would. 844-967-2789. We're up against the clock, but we're going to take Ken from Fond du Lac real quickly. Ken, good morning. What do you want to say?
Good morning. You think Biden giving Iran $6 billion was a good idea?
That's not what happens. The money is still in Qatar. That is a falsehood that's going around on certainly on Twitter and in certainly right-wing spheres. President Biden did not give the Iranians $6 billion, which they used to give to Hamas. Thanks for calling, Ken. Just about a minute to go. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. We're going to switch gears a little bit when we come back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yes! Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. At least 9 Americans have been killed in Hamas attacks on Israel. Deputy National Security Advisor John Feiner tells CBS other U.S. citizens are unaccounted for.
I expect the situation of the hostages to take on increasing focus over the course of the coming days. And we, of course, will be laser focused on confirmation of any Americans among that group.
Israel Defense Forces say their combat helicopters are now attacking Lebanese territory as Israel cuts electricity, water and shipments of food and fuel to Gaza. CBS's Holly Williams in southern Israel.
We've been hearing incoming rocket fire, forcing our team to scramble for cover. We've also been hearing the almost constant thud of what sounds like Israeli airstrikes.
Rescue workers in western Afghanistan are digging for people still trapped in the rubble after powerful earthquakes Saturday. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The global response has been slowed by hesitation over dealing with the Taliban and the situation in Israel and Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Newly elected Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz has declined to recuse herself from a case that seeks to challenge the Republican-drawn legislative maps. Justice Protasiewicz is currently facing the threat of impeachment from State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a threat that was levied before she even heard a single case. The court agreed to hear one of the two redistricting challenges and dismissed the other, deciding 4-3 along party lines. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers last week reiterated his vow to veto any anti-transgender law that the Republican-controlled state legislature passes. The promise comes as legislators held hearings on anti-trans bills last week, one of which seeks to ban gender-affirming care for trans youth, and two that would bar trans girls from competing in girls' school sports. Democratic lawmakers criticized the bills, citing support for gender-affirming care for trans minors by various medical organizations. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, journeyman, journey fan. And Todd Alba, journeyman talker, is my guest host for this first hour on our Monday. We were talking about the horrific attack by Hamas against Israel, and our caller had said, well, President Biden just gave around $6 billion. And a texter now says, please help me understand the $6 billion thing. So we're going to do that before we move on real quickly here. Fox News, national security correspondent Jennifer Griffin, fact-checked claims that President Biden's administration gave $6 billion to Iran during a prisoner exchange earlier in the summer. Some Republicans and right-wing pundits are claiming Iran used that money by the U.S. to help fund that deadly attack against Israel. Here is what Griffin pointed out during a fact segment on Fox News. The $6 billion is still currently held in a Qatari bank account with U.S. Treasury oversight. The money came from Iranian oil sales to South Korea, does not include U.S. taxpayer dollars. North Korean spokesperson Adrian Watson said in a statement, not a single cent from these funds have been spent. When it is spent, it can only be spent on things like food and medicine for the Iranian people. These funds have absolutely nothing to do with the horrific attacks today. This is not the time to spread disinformation. In fact, the U.S. has pre-positioned $2 billion worth of weapons stored in Israel, and I'm told the U.S. will likely release some of these pre-positioned weapons to help Israel in the coming days. So that was on Fox News.
Well said, Jane. Absolutely well said. And I mean, when Fox News is disputing this, it's unfortunate you have all this disinformation out there.
Right.
I think it's also important for people to remember during the Trump administration, happened fairly early, so lots happened since then. But the Trump administration actually disclosed Israeli military secrets to Russia and to Putin, which did not sit real well in Tel Aviv, I might add. And you know, there. And so if there's any sort of actual line of evidence here, is that during the Trump administration, they gave Israeli military information to Putin. Putin, of course, is very close with Iran, and Iran is funding Hamas.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to talk facts, that would be it.
Yes, America's good buddy, Vladimir Putin, yeah, is good friends with Iran, and they are. And I saw something over the weekend that said that a member of Hamas was actually in Moscow in the last couple of weeks. So,
right. Yeah,
don't forget who's buddies with who. Trust me, Moscow is not taking the side of Israel in this conflict.
No, not at all. And if you, I mean, not to go too far down the rabbit hole, or as they used to say, dueling tangents, but on the tangent side. But here's the deal, is that Putin certainly wants to distract attention and money away from the Ukrainian effort.
Absolutely.
What better way to do that than to start a conflict or help start a conflict in Israel, where they know the United States is going to give dollars and aid, and this is splitting the baby, so to speak, militarily, at a time, we've talked about this in our show, when Putin and his allies know that the American military is not, no offense to anybody in the military, but because of Tommy Tuberville and his lack of confirmed appointments, the U.S. military is not exactly on the firmest of ground either. It all adds up.
It really does. And it does not add up in a good way, unfortunately. All right, we are going to move on to a little bit. Earlier in the hour, we were talking about how, shockingly, we agree with Representative Glenn Grossman from Wisconsin.
I don't like that.
I know. It's discombobulating. It's a good thing we're going to have Jen Schaefer on tomorrow to recombobulate us about all of this we agree thing. And yet now, Todd Alba, after that man showed up last week at the state capitol armed, looking for Governor Evers, there appears to be more agreement this time at the Wisconsin state capitol. What's happening?
The lamb is laying down with the proverbial lion at the state capitol. And you know what? I uttered words on my show that I don't think that I have uttered since we began almost a year ago. Quote, I agree with Robin Voss and Governor Evers, as it turns out. Because Tony Evers last week, and I applaud him as someone who worked in the Capitol, referred to as the building for those of us who worked there.
Oh.
For those, did you know that?
I didn't. It's just called the building.
The building. Yeah. Someone says, yeah, well, I worked at the building. I know it's a thing.
Little insider stuff. Only the cool kids know that.
Jane just rolled her eyes at me. Yeah, she rolled her eyes at me like I was a frat boy on Breeze Terrace.
Well, Todd, I'm not exactly happy you said we agree with Robin Voss. So, I mean,
Well, here's the thing. And you know what? I think it's important to recognize when we do agree, at least I agree, and I applaud Governor Evers because for those people who worked at the Capitol like I did, one of the great things is that anybody can come in and out. There's no fee for it. There's no metal detectors. You're able to come and go as you please. There's such great architecture. People could go up to the, well, most people would call it the second floor, but the Capitol where you enter is called the ground floor.
Okay.
So the it's actually the first floor the governor's office is at. And so that's, it represents open government to me. And I think Governor Evers said that in a much more eloquent way last Friday when asked by the press. And he said, I think he called it, if we put in metal detectors at the Capitol, it would be creepy, I think is what he said. Because he said, I've been to D.C. and it's creepy out there.
That's so,
and I,
it's so like, right? It's so like Oplander to say something like that, isn't
right,
it?
Right,
it,
exactly.
It's creepy.
It's darn creepy. I mean, anyone who's ever been to DC, it's like, it's almost like LA traffic. You have to, what time is your appointment? All right, you got to pack on another half an hour, 45 minutes for the travel in, for all the taking your stuff out, putting your arms up, getting wanded, all that stuff. It's, yeah. And honestly, like, I mean, I was taking a phone call just now, but I don't think the security needs to be, because the security did their job.
Exactly.
They took care of it, and they did exactly what they needed to do. And oh, I agree with Robin Voss.
I know. So to finish the story quickly, Robin Voss came out Friday, and he, of course, didn't give Tony Evers any credit, but he echoed the same words as Tony Evers and said, look, I don't think that we need to add more security or metal detectors or close down the Capitol either. And so, you know, yeah, I agree that with Greg, that the Capitol Police and also the State Patrol did their job. Everybody was kept safe. And I would hate to see an overreaction to what appears to be, thankfully, a one-off with someone that has some mental health issues as well. And, of course, but, you know, not every Republican is, God bless, at least there's still some wacky Republicans out there, because good old Chris Kapinga, the president of the Senate, came on on the Milwaukee television over the weekend and said, well, I don't know about that. I think we need to start looking at locking down the building and putting in metal detectors. I mean, just a complete overreaction to appease the militant base of his party, I guess. I don't know.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. What do you think?
Great topics this morning. I'm actually calling about something you were talking about 20 minutes ago. With the war that Israel is in, if Fox News and all the far right wings, either they're part of the problem or part of the solution. With Ukraine and Russia, they chose Russia over Ukraine. With what's going on in the Middle East right now with Israel, if they can't admit they're part of the problem, not part of the solution, then therefore Hamas, because they don't want to end this conflict in Israel. We've got to work together as a nation to support Israel. If this finger pointing they do is driving me out of my mind today on Fox News, who do they refer to? Former Trump advisors. Give me a break. The guy was the worst criminal we ever had in history, and they're using his team as advisors? You've got to be kidding me. So I like the way the conversation was going. And I don't know if I'll ever live long enough to say I agree with Robin Voss.
Well, it's a small thing, Bill. We got to start with the little things. You know, he agrees that, you know, burning your house down is bad. So that there's a baseline, and maybe we can work up to more things from there.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling, Bill. Always appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Sharky from Racine is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. I take a real interest in Mr. Voss and his confidants. As a former retired police detective, in this situation, it may, in a sense, seem to be quite mundane issue in general. But I mean, they got the guy's first gun, then they got the guy's second gun. That whole thing with the first rust to the second release, I'm concerned that, and I have pointed out to some of our lawmakers and people that are in Madison working, that I said, listen, I hope that the best investigators and the best interrogators are going to sit with this guy, and besides his potential mental illness, we have to dig through all that, making sure that this is, it is only what it seems to be and not anything as a conspiracy, where we know that the big group in Madison are resulting in all kinds of different things and desperations. I can only potentially think what could be then the situation here. I mean, society is doing a lot of dirty things in general just because people are short of funds or they have a purpose in life. But not to sound like a big conspiracist, but I'm concerned on this one because that was our governor. That was our governor. And I like Tony. I really do. But I'm worried about the individual that's in custody, and I hope that they pinched him real hard under interviews and potential interrogations.
Appreciate
you get my drift.
Yep, absolutely. Appreciate your chicken and sharky. 844-967-2789. I guess what I'm concerned about, and maybe I just missed it, Todd, but I did not see any Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin condemn this guy bringing the gun to the Capitol looking for the governor. Was there anybody?
That I saw. I'll because I didn't take a poll, but so I don't know every single one. But no, I did not see anybody on any of the news feeds that I follow, and I think you and I follow quite a few to condemn this act. And I think the caller brings up a great point, especially as a former law enforcement officer. It is the governor of the United States, and again, as someone who worked at the Capitol, I talked about this a little bit on our show last week. There is I didn't disclose it. But then I saw it like in multiple news stories over the weekend. So I'm like, all right, fine. So every legislative assembly and Senate office has a button under one of the desks. It's usually the chief of staff desk. Sometimes it's the receptionist desk. Every legislative office has an emergency button that is wired directly to the Capitol Police. So if you have someone come in your office where you don't feel safe, you simply discreetly push that under your desk. And then the Capitol Police show up. I guess there was one instance last year where someone pushed it and no one showed up. Certainly that should be reviewed. I agree, though, that we have to look at and make sure this was a one-off and not part of a larger plot of some sort. I mean, look what happened in Michigan, for goodness sake.
Yes.
Gretchen Whitmer was a target of kidnapping, and thank God that never happened.
But that's why, too, Carol Kane and I were talking about this on Friday. Words matter, and words are powerful. Yes. And if the wrong person hears the rhetoric that they believe encourages violence against elected officials. And unfortunately, sometimes I think those words are said intentionally for that reason, hoping that the right person's going to hear this and go, you know what, I'm going to take this into my own hands and I'm going to do something about it.
100%. I have to call out the violent rhetoric. It's certainly much more prevalent on the Republican side. I don't know any Democrats who are doing it, but I'll, for the record, say I don't agree with it on either side. But and Trump, you know, it's not even a dog whistle anymore. I mean, he's saying these things right out. I mean, Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was on 60 Minutes last night with Norah O'Donnell and addressing the former president of the United States who called for his death, for goodness sake. So this is absolutely dangerous stuff. I think there needs to be an investigation. Who is this judge and the DA in Dane County that let this person off within hours and back out on the street? That can't happen either.
Yep, that's a good point. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We've got a short break. We will be right back. Stay with us. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters.
The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 37. Some frost possible. Partly sunny and 55 on Tuesday. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high around 57. Thursday, some rain with a high around 55. It will be windy.
Currently, 46 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Wisconsin, Jane Badmeier, in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Todd Alba is my guest host for this first hour every Monday while Kristen is on maternity leave. So glad to have you here, Todd. We're going to change things up a little bit. I saw this story this morning, and it just made me laugh. And I'm curious how people would react to this had it happened to you. Pink Floyd fans from the Daily Mail left furious after Roger Waters' gig at the London Palladium Theatre Sunday night, where he spent an hour reading from his unpublished autobiography instead of singing, and he even told them to F off. This seems like a bad way to deal with your fans.
Here's my number one question, you guys. Was it billed as Pink Floyd singing, or was it billed as an autobiography reading?
Oh, no. It was supposed to be a concert.
It was supposed to be Roger Waters' new reinterpretation of Dark Side of the Moon.
The entirety of the album.
Yeah, which, by the way, no one asked for. I stand... Here's the thing is, in this building, I can guarantee you I am the biggest Pink Floyd fan there is. I am a huge fan. There's no reason to be doing what he's doing. And he also said he was going to retire like 3 years ago, but then he was like, oh, this tour made me money. He's been going through some stuff in the media and the press with accusations of anti-Semitism.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is the final unraveling of a man who I thought unraveled in the early 80s.
The article says the former bassist for Pink Floyd spent an hour reading passages from his unpublished book from a laptop instead of devoting the evening to just playing the music as promised. Apparently, one of the stories he told was about his pet duck named Donald that he spent 20 minutes on, and fans were not happy.
Yeah.
I'm sure they weren't.
And if he's reading from his laptop, that's not even, that's just a blog. You're just reading from a blog.
Right? Apparently, this is a quote. If you want to tell stories, tell them in your own time, to your own audience, in your own effing theater. By the way, if you can show constraint and stop shouting again. And concert goers were checking in. I am so sorry to say tonight's concert was such a letdown. The actual songs were great, but the self-indulgent piece of crap was interminable and finishing over 1 hour later than the timetable is inexcusable. Another ticket holder said when he sticks to his fantastic music, he's brilliant, but 60 minutes of music over 2.5 hours is barely a concert. The rambling nonsense ruined a wonderful last 50 minutes.
That, yeah, I would have demanded my money back.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who are going to be trying to do that, whether or not that's going to be You know, if they're going to respond to that, I don't know. I've never had a concert experience that bad.
No, neither have I. I mean, I've seen bands who don't play well, but they played music from start to finish. It just was bad.
They didn't tell stories about their pet turtle.
By the way, now is the time I shall bring out my tome of life and start singing the passages of my duck named Donald.
You know. What about you, Todd? Have you ever been to a show that just completely blew up?
No, not like, I mean, it does bring up a great question though. Like when you go to a concert, a live concert, what are you looking for? Like, I mean,
music?
I'm one of the best. Well, I know, but I mean, I want the person, the artist I'm going to see. Cause I've been to some where it's like, well, it's pretty apparent. They do a lot of, cleanup, shall we say, with audio and computers. And then probably one of the best concerts I ever went to was here in Madison Overture back in 2006. Tony Bennett, who just passed away recently. It was Tony Bennett, his pianist, a string bassist, and a drummer. And at one point, he said, guys, take five. And he stood downstage at the Overture and sang like three tunes a cappella, just Tony Bennett. And it sounded exactly like every album or every digital download I've ever listened to. And I'm like, see, that's talent. That's a pure, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the real deal when I go to a concert.
What? Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, I was going to say, I saw the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks. I saw them in concert at the old Bradley Center years ago. And at one point, like playing through all these amazing hits from all over the years, and at one point they're like, you know, we're gonna change gears. And this huge vinyl tree dropped in the middle of the stage because it was in the round, and they played a 30-minute bluegrass set, and it was phenomenal.
I bet.
I mean, honestly,
that's amazing.
Had they been playing in a smaller venue, they could have just unplugged their instruments because they're playing so hard and so aggressively, and it was an amazing show.
Well, and I don't mind little, you know, I guess one of the things I like about going to a concert is when they do share little anecdotes in between songs.
Sure.
And so, sure, Roger, you can tell me about your duck named Donald, but do it, you know, for 2.5 minutes in between some other right. songs. Don't do a 20-minute dialogue on your duck.
Now do Corporal Clegg, all right? Seriously, just play a song.
You know? A little sprinkling here and there would probably have been a lot more palatable as opposed to spending the last 55 minutes of the show reading from his as-yet-unpublished autobiography.
But see, if he was smart or his publicist was smart, he could have had it both ways. He could have done a music set and then said, join me tomorrow night at whatever venue, and I'm going to do a reading off of my unauthorized biography. He probably could have made some bank, like, ooh, I want to go see like the inside story or whatever. He shouldn't have done it together, in my opinion.
No, I think, you know, at some point, he's been famous most of his life. He's 80 years old now. It just seems really, really self-indulgent to me. And one of these ticket holders said they paid £500 for those tickets. So that's
what? £500?
£500.
When he came to Milwaukee a couple years ago, the cheapest tickets were $175.
Wow.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is a guy who is in a band that's meant so much to me, and I can't do that. I'm not paying nearly $200 for the cheap seats.
Cheap seats. And you would think that didn't he save any money? For heaven's sakes, Roger, come on. You gotta. But I felt that way about the Eagles, too, when they were on their endless last tour and they were charging $400 for tickets. It's like, come on, Don, you never saved anything? Do you blow it all?
Jane, I feel like you would be the quintessential manager because you have just that no-nonsense attitude. You're a little bit of motherly, kind of caring about people. Just like you just lay it down. Be like, come on, guys, get your act together.
Just, you know, Roger walks off stage and you're like, what did you do?
Go sit in the corner and think about what you've done. And I'm going to be back in 20 minutes and we're going to talk about this. Todd, all the... Always wonderful having you join us on Mondays.
You're fantastic, guys.
Thank you so very much. Stick around. Hour two of As Goes Wisconsin is on the way next, right after the top of the hour news. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.